Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a really long story. The story of Joseph and his brothers and his father and all of that stuff. Are any of you at all familiar with Joseph's story? Even beyond what we just read a moment ago. What comes to mind when you think of Joseph? What are pieces of his story that come to mind? Dreams. The interpretation of dreams, right? It's a huge part of the story of Joseph is his ability to interpret dreams, his inability to understand when it is or is not appropriate to share dreams with others. You caught that, right? I mean, with all due respect to Joseph, I know he is a patriarch and all of that stuff, but I'm just saying, it seems to me that common sense says that you don't go to your brothers and say, hey, guess what? I had this dream where you all bowed down before me. How cool is that? And then, hey, I had this other dream where mom and dad did too. How cool was that? Actually, a side note, I pointed this out. I pointed this out to the Bible study group on Thursday. But that dream he had about his mother and father bowing down before him is kind of weird because his mother is dead. She died of chapter 2 before this dream. So why that was said that way is kind of odd. I don't have an explanation for you. What else comes to mind when you think of the story of Joseph? The coat. The coat, right? The many-colored coat. Which is weird because apparently the translation is actually that it's a long coat with sleeves. What I'm wearing right now is much more what it actually says he was wearing. Where we get the coat of many colors, there's a long story behind it. Don't worry about it. If you want him to have a coat of many colors, that's fine. It's a fun musical. Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Come on, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
Donny Osmond? Any of you? Some of you have seen it? It's a good show, I'm just saying. What else comes to mind, the story of Joseph? His famine, or the famine, yes. I was just about to say his family, yes, the famine. If you, like I said, we've jumped forward 13 chapters here, so there's this huge amount of space that we've just glossed over in his story. But there's a famine in the story of Joseph. He gets sold by his brothers, as we just heard, and he eventually becomes the property of the Pharaoh, and he goes and works for the Pharaoh, and he's able to interpret these dreams that the Pharaoh has about an impending famine. Does this ring a bell for some of you? Awesome. That's even more convenient that you are somewhat familiar with this. In those dreams about the famine, he interprets them, and from them he comes up with a plan for how the nation of Egypt can survive the famine. And they do great. They have enough food through the famine because of Joseph and his ability to budget. How's that for kind of a funny thing when you stop and think about it? The inspiration of the story of Joseph is partially about understanding how to budget. There you go. Life lesson, apparently. And then because of the famine, his family, who's been affected by the famine, they come to the Pharaoh seeking food, seeking sustenance. And who do they meet when they come to see the Pharaoh? They wind up seeing their brother, Joseph, who they don't recognize. And there's this whole plot involving a hidden cup that Joseph pretends one of the brothers has stolen, and he uses that to reconcile with them. And if you haven't read the story, do. It's good. If you don't want to take the time to read the story, go watch the movie or the musical. It's actually pretty entertaining. The story of Joseph. There's a lot of meat in there. There's meat that we didn't actually hear today. There's meat that we just talked about a second ago. And because it is so bulky and such a large story, I want to talk about one verse. Because it's so much material to work with. I want to talk about one verse in particular. I'm going to steal your bulletin for just a second. That one verse is Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Some of you have been at funerals that I have presided at and spoken at. Or some of you have had events in your life where I have been there during a tragedy or something that has happened. And something that you have never heard me say in either of those situations, you have never heard me say, well, it was God's will. You have never heard me say, well, it was God's will. God just wanted another angel. God just wanted another angel. God has a plan. Just have faith. You have never heard me say those words outside of this context right now because I don't use those words. I don't use them because I don't find them comforting. And maybe you do, and that is okay. Maybe you do. Maybe in times of tragedy, if someone says to you, well, it was just God's will, or God just wanted another angel, or God has a plan, just have faith. If that does it for you, congratulations. That is awesome. That's fine. I am not going to argue with you about it. I am not going to try and convince you to see it otherwise. And I apologize that you will have to listen to another 8 minutes or so of me talking in a different direction. But if those words don't comfort you, if those words aren't the words that you want to hear in moments of tragedy, well, I will tell you that the reason that I don't use those words is because it is my experience that when we use them so often, it is not to comfort the person who is in pain, but it is to comfort ourselves. So often when we tell someone who has experienced some sort of horrific loss or tragic pain or something, when we say those words to them, so often the reason that we say that, I believe, and I've experienced so often, why we do that is because it comforts us. But for the person in the midst of that pain, so often it does not. I will confess to you that I have largely ignored this past weekend the news about this shooting in Burlington. I don't know if you all heard about it or not. Who knows what I'm talking about? I thought you probably all did. I will confess to you that I have deliberately, this time, gone out of my way to not learn about it. At least not right now. I just didn't have the stomach for it. But I can assure you that if I was a pastor up there, and I can assure you that if I was in the midst of all of that, just have faith would not be my go-to words to try to comfort the individuals who lost loved ones, the individuals whose loved ones were murdered in cold blood. It is natural to seek answers after things like that. It is natural to seek a solution of sorts. But I believe that the answer lies not in blaming God for human sinfulness, not in blaming God for the brokenness of creation. Is God present in a tragedy like that? Yes. Is God present in the midst of that pain and suffering? Yes. Absolutely. But God's hands are not present so much in that violence as in that response to that violence. It is the difference between God did this for good and God can use this for good. Do you see the difference there? God did this for good. God can use this for good. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. The words of Joseph today, Genesis 50, verse 20. And yes, before you ask, that is what it says. In the Greek, it says, you intended to do harm to me. And in the Greek, it literally says, God used this for good. That's also the thing about the past tense. Used it for good. Because so often we can't see it until afterwards. So often it is hard to see God in the midst of it, and you find God afterwards through the lens of time and healing. The story of Joseph, as we talked about a moment ago, is long. It is 13 chapters of a 50-chapter book. Joseph is over a quarter of Genesis. Over 25% of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. But at the core of his story is this very simple, time-tested message. In spite of humanity's best efforts to the contrary, God can and God will use our brokenness to heal, even though we might not be able to see it right away. Let us pray. We ask you, O gracious God, to be with all of those who lost loved ones this weekend in the shootings in Burlington and elsewhere. We ask you to be with all of those who mourn, all of those who experience pain and loss and suffering. We ask you to help us to continue to work for the fulfillment of your promise to this world. We ask you to help us to find ways to be voices of peace and reconciliation and hope and love. We trust all of these things to you. And lift them, praying in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.